Hi guys, good morning. Welcome to Osborne Neighborhood Church. And I'm Pastor Greg. I'm taking a Sunday for Pastor Ryan. He and his family are on vacation, well-deserved, well-earned. And I'm praying that they have just the best time they've ever had on a vacation. They're up north a little bit and just enjoying the water, the weather, the scenery, all the things that God has provided for them this week. So continue to pray for them as they continue their week of fun. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we ask that you would guide us through these moments. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you that you are a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So we give this time to you that you would be exalted, that your name would be glorified, just as it is in heaven. Amen. So, if you bear with me for a minute or something like that, I want to tell you guys a funny story. It has to do with nothing, only that it popped into my head, so I'm telling it to you. When Andrew was about 5 years old, he had this, you know, those styrofoam airplanes that they give you, that you buy at the store or whatever, and you got to take them apart and stick the wings through, and some of them are made out of wood, and you put the propeller on and you twist it and all this other stuff, and they fly around and crash into stuff, all those things. While he was playing with his plane, it broke, and so he came to me and he goes, "Dad, can you fix my plane?" I'm like, "Andrew's the fixer, I'm not." He wasn't then, but he had all his confidence in his dad. So I said, "Yeah, I can fix that thing." So I'm looking at it, I'm going, "Well, let's get the super glue, and we can fix it, I think, with super glue." And so I get the super glue, I look at it, and it looks empty. And so I take off the top, and I go like that, and it wasn't empty. And all this glue stuck to my lips, and it stuck to my fingers, and it stuck to my teeth. And I'm moving my fingers and my hands as fast as I can. And I'm trying to get my teeth unbound, my lips unbound. I'm trying to get my fingers off. My lips are still bound together. And so I'm running to the bathroom. I'm splashing all this water on my lips, my face. Finally, my lips come apart. And then my teeth were stuck together. So I got to splash more water in there. And my teeth finally came unbound. And I looked at Andrew, and he was like, and I thought, what an idiot. So I hope that brings a little bit of laughter in your life this morning. A cheerful heart makes good like a medicine. And it's fun to laugh. And we need to laugh in these times and in these days, because life is difficult, even more difficult than it is sometimes that we've had in the past. But now life is really difficult for so many of us. But we trust in Jesus. Jesus is the way to, and he's the truth, and he leads us to where we need to go. And so, excuse me, I want to share with you this morning about compassion versus attitude. The Spirit of Christ and the life of Christ. So this is about my sons again. Recently, I had to tell one of my sons that he had hurt the other son. The one that was hurt stormed out of the house and left very angrily. And so I'm talking to my son and I'm telling him about character and the difference between the two of them. One son is kind of mercy driven, not all the time, but most time I would say that's kind of his language of life. He's really mercy driven. Has a lot of compassion and things like that. My other son, he's pretty much a straight shooting guy. He tells you what he thinks, maybe a little bit like his dad. I don't know. I hope we don't get on people's nerves and things like that, but that's the way he is. That's the way that both of them are. So we talked about those things, talked about character and the difference between the two of them for the one that was left. The one that stayed in the house. It was a good father and son conversation. And I explained these things to him, you know, this brother's like this and you're like that. And all we have is each other. We have the three of us. It's the three of us. And we can't afford to have a broken family over an argument or over something that's will cause somebody to storm out of the house. And I'm going, is he going to come back? When's he going to come back? And he was an angry child. He was upset because of what his brother had told him. And so the one brother, over time, over the day, actually didn't last too long, because I said, you know, you got to straighten this thing out. You have to talk. You guys have to talk, and you have to ask your brother to forgive you, and you guys have to work it out. And a little bit later, I think it was later on in the day, they came back and they had talked it out, and he said, Dad, everything's cool. You know, and that mean a lot to me, because in today's world, nobody wants to talk anything out. You know, I'm right, too bad for you. You know, and that's not, we can't live like that. We have to have conversation. We have to have what they call dialogue. We can't go around saying, you hurt me, and so I'm not going to ever work with you or do anything with you. I'm not going to ever forgive you. I'm not going to ever be compassionate with you. I'm just, you hurt me too bad. Bible talks about deep wounds and things like that, and how do you heal them? You know, because wounds can go deep. Words can go deep. Pain and the effects of what we say and what we do can change a person's life forever. And so it's so important that we keep short accounts, that we have the humility to seek forgiveness and ask forgiveness. And it's taught all through Scripture. I always talk about it. This has been taught through Scripture. That's been taught through Scripture. But reading all through Scripture, it has this idea of forgiveness and forgetfulness. And sometimes the Bible says God will cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, as far as mankind can figure out, or we can figure out. That's a long distance. And how long, how far away it is, I don't know. God knows. But there's some sea of forgetfulness out there, and that's where God casts our sins as we bring them to Him. You know, and if He can do that, we can do that. There shouldn't be any hurt so deep, or any frustration so deep, that we have to say, I can't forgive you. I don't like you. I'm going to turn my back to you, and I'm not going to ever turn my face to you again. That is destruction. That is death. That is almost unrepairable. And that's not how we are supposed to live as human beings, and definitely not how we're supposed to live as Christians. We should be the first among equals, in the sense of we should be the first to forgive. We should be the first to have mercy. We should be the first to be gracious. We should be the first to be honorable. We should be the first to be welcoming. We should be the first in every endeavor in life. And it's something we work on. I know we can't just walk right out the door now and say, I'm going to be the first in this and the first in that, but we could decide to be the first in something. I heard, and it's so simple. Someone said the other day, it was probably about a week ago, I was reading something, and they said, make sure you accomplish one thing during the day. Even if that one thing is making your bed, make sure you, every morning you get up and make your bed. A simple task, you would think, but some people struggle with making their bed. But what if you were the first thing you accomplished today would be to make your bed? That's an accomplishment. Sounds kind of simple and kind of small and stuff like that, but they always say, what, the adventure or the journey begins with that first step. You know, we're struggling with this, we're struggling with completion, we're struggling with treating people right and things like that. Well, that's a step. In treating people right, is that you accomplish something. Now I have this attitude that I can do something. I can complete something. My sons are really good friends, by the way. And they over time have worked things out, you know, and it's great to hear them laugh and get crazy. I got them on silent mode right now. I say, you guys be quiet, because I'm trying to do this, so I don't need to hear your mouths. And they say, yo, no problem, Dad, we'll be cool about it. And so far they are being cool about it. Scripture teaches compassion and forgiveness from beginning to end. Scripture teaches loyalty and humility. Scripture speaks of pride and its consequences. We can look around us today and see the consequences of pride. Nobody wants to be the first person to say, you know, let's reason together. Because Scripture teaches God speaks to the sinner and he said, come on over here and let's reason together. This is the Almighty speaking to the less than mighty and saying, come on, let's go talk together. Let's figure this thing out. If God can do that, why can't we? He has emotions, he has compassion, he has all these things that go on in his world, which is our world. And so if he can say, come, let us reason together, and he asks, though your sins be like scarlet, I can wash them white as snow. Sometimes our sins linger because we can't reason together with one another. We have this attitude that I'm going to be on top. What I know I'm right, and maybe you are. Maybe you are in what you're saying. But maybe you're not in what you're living. Because if you're saying one thing and your attitude stinks, and even if that one thing you're saying is correct, we're wrong. We got to have the right attitude. We got to have the right humility. We have the right, pastor talks about honor. We have to have the right honor. We should honor one another. Scripture teaches honor. Think about David and his valiant men, and they honored this man. They honored him even when maybe there was times when they were in situations where they were not happy with him. But they knew that this guy was going to lead them the right way, and that they were going to be taken care of, and they honored him because of that. Honor is a powerful thing. Lack of honor is a scary thing. In Proverbs 18:19, it says, a brother offended is harder to win back than a fortified city. Think about that. A brother offended is harder to be won back than a fortified city. And back then, when they fortified a city, they fortified a city. You know, the walls of Jericho were probably maybe 20 feet thick or something like that. Who knows? But they weren't these little cement walls we have surrounding our yards. They were fortresses. And when you offend someone, trying to win them back is difficult. You have to figure out a way. You have to have a plan of action. I'm going to win this person back. And that plan of action has to be based in humility and in honor. I'm going to honor the person that hurt me. And that's a scary thought, isn't it? Somebody just hurt me, and I'm going to honor them. Man, I have all kinds of racial stories I could tell you. I get all kinds of stuff where I'm treated bad by the police or treated bad by a white person, stuff like that. But that is never, ever, ever going to control my life. It just is not. You know, there's story after story after story I could tell you growing up in Northern Ohio, in the Cleveland area, of bad things that people did. But God, and even before God, I was not going to hold those things against people. They hurt. And I had attitudes towards people for some times that I just thought, these people are really wicked people. You know. But you come to the place where are you going to live in bitterness, wounds? Scripture says, again in Proverbs, a wounded spirit dries the bones. Do your bones hurt? Unwound your spirit. Because I don't want a wounded spirit. I don't want dried bones. If my spirit gets wounded, I want to be able to take care of it. It says, arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. And again, that's our world. We have so many arguments. I'm right, you're wrong. You're wrong, I'm right. You know, just go on and on and on. And where's the peacekeeper? Where's the peacemaker? Where's somebody that can open these gates, that can break down these bars, that can be a comforter to the person that's hurting, that can look outside themselves and really ask God to show them deep down, where's this person hurting so I can help them? One person at a time. We're not going to solve all the world's problems one time. It's just not going to happen. You can't write laws for it. You got to change your heart. And the first heart that has to be changed is mine. If I can't change my heart, I can't change another person's heart. And of course, the Spirit of God is the one that's going to ultimately. bring a person to a place of conviction and awareness and salvation. But as my place, the part that I'm supposed to play is that I am to be a vessel for the kingdom of God. I am supposed to be a vessel, an ambassador for Christ. I can't take my attitude in it, with it. I can't take my attitude to this thing that hurts me, that someone hurt me for whatever reason. Skin color, whatever, you know, you're fat, you're stupid, all those things that we label people and get away with because they've sunken into our hearts and they become the abundance of our heart. And that's sad. It's heartbreaking. I say sad, but it's actually heartbreaking. And our hearts aren't broken the right way. Our hearts aren't broken for the love of God. Our hearts are broken because we've been wounded. Somebody said the wrong thing. But my heart hurts. Greg Rush's heart hurts to watch the craziness that goes on, to hear the craziness that goes on, to see the craziness that go on. What part am I to the solution? There's a part of me that's part of the solution. This big or this big, there's a part of me, there's a part of you that is part of the solution. That means we have to die. We have to die to ourselves. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago or last week that we have to die daily. We have to get up in the morning and put on our, in a sense, our dead pants. Our pants that say, my rights are over here. I'm going to put my rights behind me so that I can bless a brother or bless a sister, or have compassion on a brother or have compassion on a sister, or have this or have that for someone. And my struggle with my attitude or how they hurt me or whatever has got to be laid to the side. You think Jesus got hurt? They talked about his mother. They talked about his father. They called him a liar. They called him, he told him he had demons and that he was possessed and he was a Samaritan and all of these things. You know, you think he wasn't wounded? Of course he was wounded. But do you think that guided his life? Just the opposite. He heaped coals of love on those coals of destruction that were thrown at him. And the scripture teaches that love conquers and covers a multitude of our sins. And the love of Jesus conquered and covered a multitude of all of our sins. If we say we have not sinned, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. We all need salvation on a daily basis. We all need to know that today is a new day. And today I have to confess myself before Christ Jesus as a believer and say, Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short of your glory. I have missed the mark. I didn't go out and cheat on anybody. I didn't go out and steal anything. But I missed the mark because I treated my brother shamefully or had attitude towards him because he didn't agree with me. That's sin. That's sin, and I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And hopefully all of us are working on it. Because of Christ Jesus, there's goodness inside of here, because Christ Jesus lives inside of here. So there's goodness inside of here. And sometimes we're afraid to let the goodness out, because what will somebody else think if I disagree with my family member or someone else that we've been, yeah. And then on the side, you're thinking, boy, I don't really feel like that anymore. I want to go do something about it. Well, you got to go do something about it. You have to go do something about it because God has challenged us to do something about it. The Pharisees were legally right. So many things they brought before Jesus, and they were legally right. But they were lovingly so wrong that it was ridiculously sad, and it broke Jesus' heart. and you could just feel the way his voice would be speaking sometimes. It's almost like you could see what he's saying. That his heart was just, oh, guys, can't you get it? Don't you see? Don't you see? Yeah, the woman was caught in adultery. Yeah, you brought her to me. But what about you? What about you? That was a messed up story. Where was the man? Because they said according to the scripture, but according to the scripture, the man was supposed to be there, the adulterer along with her. Jesus knew that. They weren't tricking Jesus. And Jesus pointed something out to them and made them all walk away. I don't know if any of them repented, but it certainly made them walk away. Where's our compassion? They always talk about you got to go on a diet. Don't go on a diet. You got to change your lifestyle. Diets don't work. Lifestyle changes work, but diets don't. If you lost weight, it's because you changed your lifestyle. It's not because you're on a diet. If you change your attitude, it's because you changed your attitude lifestyle. These are the difficult things in life. And the Bible teaches that life is difficult. I've wronged lots of people, and it's like, can you forgive me for the things that I've done? And over the years, I've had to do that. I mean, we had a drama group called The Singer. I forget what it was called. Anyhow, it was 10 of us from Osborne Neighbor Church, and we went traveling. I had just become a believer, and Carla Cooper at the time would put this makeup on my face, and it got so funny. Whenever she put the makeup on my face, I'd get this conviction, and the tears would just start rolling down my face, and she'd have to do the makeup over. And she looked at me one day, and she said, "Can you just let God speak to you before we put the makeup on, you know?" And I was like, I thought it was funny, but I go, "What do you want me to do, you know?" But we have to be in a place of conviction so that God can speak to our hearts and so God can change our hearts, so God can take these stony hearts and turn them into flesh. Because you're a letter written and people read it. And they're waiting for us to change the world. They're waiting for us to be who we're supposed to be. To be real Christ followers. If we're a Christ follower, we're dead. We're dead to our attitudes. We're dead to our rights. We're dead to firsts. We're dead to all of those things. We're not under anybody's feet, or we're not less than anyone, but we're dead to pride, and we're alive to humility. Those are the things that change people's lives. Those are the things that change the world. The world's not interested in it. The devil, our adversary, certainly is not interested, and he's going to do everything he can to stop it. But he can't stop Christ. If Christ is living in us, an attitude of Christ is living in us, it's going to be good, and we're going to make it. And we're going to change our world. I'm convinced that we can change our world. I'm convinced that Osborne Neighborhood Church can change our world, starting with our community. I'm convinced that there's people at Osborne that are convinced that they're going to touch the Pacoima, Arleta, San Fernando area. They're convinced of it, and they're trying. And their hearts are changing. Their attitudes are changing. They're seeing people the way Jesus sees people. Man, we should be, if we're on our knees praying for something, pray, "Jesus, let me see this person the way you see them. Don't, Jesus, give me this, and Jesus, give me that." And if you ask him to give you something, ask him to give you a heart of compassion. Ask him to give you a heart of joy. Ask him to give you a heart of love. Ask him to give you a heart of patience. Ask him to give you a heart that can make it through a tribulation. Ask for the right things. We have not because we ask not. And then he goes on to say, and you ask for all the wrong things. You ask for all the wrong reasons. But I absolutely guarantee you, if you ask Jesus to give you a heart of compassion and love and grace and mercy, he's going to give you that thing. Because that's what he does. Because that's who he is. And that's what the Father gave him. When you look in the mirror, first thing you see in the morning, you do not see perfection. At least I don't. Oh my goodness. Wow. I thought sleep was supposed to make you look better when you wake up in the morning. But evidently, that's not true as you get older. So we do something about it. We make ourselves look better. We make ourselves look better. Comb our hair, brush our teeth, put on eye makeup, shave, whatever it is. We make ourselves look better. That's an outward appearance. When we get up in the morning, in a spiritual sense, we say, Jesus, make us better. Our attitude is, make us better. Make us better, Jesus. Make us more like you. Make us more like you. Help me to get rid of my stank attitude. And put an attitude in me that is a sweet and refreshing aroma to your nostrils. Difficult but not impossible things. Because it's waiting for us. That mercy seat is waiting for us to get in it and go along for the ride. When the Samaritan found a man on the road, he went through the process of making him look better. Didn't ask any questions, as I said before. Who are you or what are you? And he just picked him up and loved him and gave his life to that man and guaranteed him even more if he needed more. It's a very deep story. When you sit down and think about all that went on in that story, that was a very deep story. Can you help the world around you? Can you fix it? God didn't ask you to fix the world. God asked us to change the world, but he didn't ask us to fix it. That's his responsibility. It's not my responsibility to fix the world. It's my responsibility to be open to the grace of God so he can work on me and fix me. And as he works on me and fixes me, I can love my neighbor. Can you broaden your gates that the King of Glory might come in? Now think about that. Was it Psalms 25 or 20? I don't know. It's one of the earlier Psalms. Open up ye gates that the King of Glory might come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord is strong and mighty. He is the King of Glory. When the king went through the gates, guess what was following behind him? All kinds of people that went through the gates with him. Open up ye gates that the King of Glory might come in. What happens when we open up the gates to Jesus and the King of Glory comes in? All kinds of people are going to come in and be a part of his kingdom. And we don't get to choose who it is. He gets to choose who it is. You're not on the sideline saying, what is that dude? I know him. He shouldn't be going through those gates. What's that dude doing and going through those gates? But Jesus knows that dude better than you do. And Jesus knows why he's letting that person in the gate or wants that person to go in the gate. It's not ours to say. It's only ours to be available to be a shining light in a dark place. And our attitude has to do like a 180, not a 360, because if you do a 360, you're right back where you started. And so many times we do a 360 because it hurts to stop in the 180 place. So we do the 360 because there's comfort in the 360 because you're right back where you started. There's no growth there, but there's definite comfort. So we got to do a 180, our attitudes. We got to repent in our attitudes on so many things so that the King of Glory can come into our gates and be refreshed in our gates and be at comfort and at rest and relax in our gates. My heart hurts, I'm telling you guys, my heart hurts. Sometimes my spirit is discouraged. Sometimes my soul just cries out for mercy and for grace and for kindness and for love and for patience from other people. Open up these gates. When the King goes out the gates, he's taking with him grace and mercy and truth and patience and kindness and love and gentleness. He's not leaving any of that stuff in the kingdom. It doesn't do any good for it to stay back and locked behind the gates. He takes it out with him and he pours it out and lavishes it on us. And we should do the same. We should follow suit. When he goes out the gates, we should be right behind him and going to those places where nobody else wants to go. Because that's who we are. That's who we are. I still think bad things. I still say bad things. My flesh, the man flesh in me isn't completely dead yet. And sometimes it doesn't want to die at all. But it's got to die. My flesh has got to die to sin. And it's got to become alive in Christ. I'm convinced that we can change the world. I'm just convinced of it. I just believe it. I just believe it. We can change the world. Philippians chapter 2 encourages us to have the same attitude in us as in Christ Jesus. We're having everything, we become a slave to his love and mercy. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. God loves us. God loves us with an unending, unbreakable, sustaining love. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Osborne Neighborhood Church. I'm thankful for Osborne Neighborhood Church being an integrated church. You know, a lot of churches can't say that, but we can do more because that's surface integration. How deep can we go? How much can we let go of? How much can we get rid of? How honest can we be with ourselves and say, I got this. All of us got issues. Sometimes I don't like white people. I assume sometimes white people don't like me, but I'm not derogatory towards white people. And hopefully white folks aren't derogatory towards me. I have a long ways to go. Long, long, long ways to go. Human nature is to protect ourselves. But the nature of Christ is to be vulnerable and to protect his sheep. Because if he protects his sheep, he gets more. Because Philippians talks about because he did this, he was seated at the right hand of God and he was given all things were given unto him in Colossians and in Philippians. Thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy and for your love. We live in a troubled world, but you're not troubled. We live in a shattered place, but the kingdom of heaven is not shattered. So pour out your mercy, O God, and pour out your grace to us. And help us to realize what it is. And help us to fall on our faces before you and receive your goodness. You have not a short hand or a short arm, but your arm is long and generous. So we bring ourselves to you, Lord, as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. That's our call. That's our reasonable service. So guide us, Father, and bless us. Help me to lead and not follow. Give us tender and loving hearts. From above, O God, teach us how to love the way you love. Teach us how to joy with great expectation in your joy. And we'll give you the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So God bless you guys. And we'll see you next time. Hopefully, it's getting pretty close to July. And we'll be meeting at church maybe a little bit soon. I shouldn't say that before Pastor says it, but I think there's some kind of starting point sometime in July. So I hope that that's true. God bless you guys. See you next time. Bye.